Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
Couldn't do without after ball breakfast in the mornings.
Good morning, lads. How are you doing?
They're fun. They get on well.
If you start the day with some good energy.
I love watching.
It's brilliant. Huge fan, yeah?
Listen to Off the Ball Breakfast live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Highly recommend it.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Lads, what a weekend of football.
Good evening.
James, I think we have to go to the kingdom and start.
Right, that roadshow is cancel the roadshow. No Kerry, no Dublin. So what are we doing up there?
We could be cancelling James O'Donoghue and Paddy Andrews. There's no need for a Kerry or Dublin voice in the Football Pod anymore.
I know. Yeah, times are changing.
This is our last couple of shows, I mean. We have.
We'll have to go out with a bang.
Paul Joyce will be doing it next year. Who else?
Joyce and McGeaney.
Joyce and McGeaney will do it next year. We had a great run, Jimmy. What did we do? 3 seasons?
4, Paddy. You've done 4 in
3 seasons. You did 4.
I've done 4. Me and Jimmy, the dream team here.
No, we'll keep you around a bit longer because sometimes pouring through the defeats are just as interesting. So before we get into the kingdom, because we're going to get them later on, because we've got to talk about the winners this weekend. How has it been, James? First thing you said to me was, club championship in 2 weeks. Oh no.
I know. That was actually the worst thing about the defeat. I was up there. We had a mega week planned for the pod. The Thursday, the Friday, next thing, the Saturday, the night before, the game on the Sunday. Best week of the year. Next thing, championship on the Saturday before the All-Ireland. Oh. So the fixtures committees, like, they just need to, they need to up their game a bit. Oh, I think, man, we need to give them a touch a little bit more often. So yeah, we're out to Saturday, so that will curtail my shenanigans the week of the All-Ireland, which is fine.
We'll see. Okay, we have got our Croke Park show the Thursday night before the All-Ireland final. A couple of Galway.
You still coming to that, Jim?
I'll be there.
That is ruthless with the club to put it in on the Saturday. It's like, let the Shocker. Lads. What about the social team? It was going to be off. Just give the lads an extra couple of weeks. Play as planned, whenever it was going to be on, the second week of August. I know the Dublin Championship is on the 10th of August.
So no matter what.
Added in that day. And when Dublin were knocked out early, they didn't change it. They said no.
But you see, what you're forgetting there is we don't have one championship. We have two.
Ten.
We have the club championships and then the county championships. So,
okay,
there's a good stint of club action coming.
Chaps.
In Kerry.
You rightfully put a ban on me mentioning Meath about 3 months ago on the Football Pod. So that is the final mention of Dublin and Kerry for today. Caelan Hendren tweeted earlier on today, the rush for tickets is something else in Clare this week for the All-Ireland Hurling Final. I'm sure it's the same in Cork. Galway and Armagh is going to be the same. But they're not the only tickets that people are looking for. Caelan Hendren, 9 hours ago. Are there any tickets at all for the Football Pod live show for one diehard Armagh fan? I just missed out on the ticket release by a few minutes. Avid listener and subscriber to the pod. All help greatly appreciated. Caelan, we'll keep an eye out for you. I'm sure there'll be a couple of Kerry and Dublin fans who bought tickets early, presuming they might be there, who might want to get rid of them.
Sort that man out, Tom.
There's nothing there at the minute, but we will keep an eye out for you. I'm planning to announce...
You're the boss, T. You're the boss.
We'll try and squeeze in a few more seats. Planning to announce our Armagh legend tomorrow. I kind of teed you two boys up on who we've got. Locked him in Saturday night. He was hopping on the train to go home and came back to me a few minutes later and said, I'll be there in the night, looking forward to it. So
he didn't need too much convincing, so did he?
I think just that buzz of beating Kerry and after extra time, I think he was in good form.
Very efficient, team.
And we'll have an answer in the morning from our Galway legend. and we'll know. I'll fill you in on who we have then. So we're looking forward to that on the Thursday night. And we might have a little bit of news on potentially having another show before the All-Ireland Football Final. But we'll come back to you on that. Let's get to Saturday afternoon. James O'Donoghue, we sat beside each other in Croke Park. We took it in.
Yeah.
54 minutes on the clock. Things were looking pretty good for Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rian O'Neill took a shot. And it went into the heavens. And it spilled out of Shane Ryan's arms. And Barry McCambridge, handball style, batted it to the net.
Mm.
Were you worried at that stage?
I suppose I was. Yeah, once that happened, I knew that the crowd had ignited. Like, in fairness, that Armagh crowd, even when Kerry were very comfortable, like 10-6 at halftime, do you know, in the 5 minutes before, maybe the 5 minutes after halftime, Kerry were comfortable. The Armagh crowd were really getting behind them. Do you know, the Armagh chants were going.
Mm.
When that goal went in, I mean, the place shook. Like, they knew it's on now. And like, even if you're a player in that situation, you kind of go, oh, fuck it, right? It really is on now. This is going down the stretch. So I think that was probably a turning point, but there was loads of turning points for Kerry. I mean, the two goal chances really were the ones that I suppose we'd be disappointed with in Kerry, because missed goal chances really do come back to bite you. The first one was obviously Joe O'Connor was through and he decided to slip it. But I think in fairness to the Armagh defender, he read the slip. He knew he was going to slip it to Tom Sullivan. Whereas I think if Joe had his time back, he'd have put his laces through that to near post and just gone for goal himself. And then the second goal chance for Tom was a great counter-attack, great move. And Tom just put the laces through it and put it wide. And like, they're huge moments because they give the opposition such a lift. They gave Armagh a huge lift. It's like, right, we got out of dodge there. We're still in this game. And they kept plugging away. And bringing on Soupy Campbell at that time. I mean, like, he just caught fire straight away. And, you know, sometimes you bring on players and they struggle to get into the game. Armagh get him into the game. I mean, there's no kind of waiting around for it. It's like, we're going to get him the ball, he's going to pull the trigger, and he's going to kick important scores because he delivers time and time again. He is an invaluable player. And for a fella to be able to sit on the bench like that, knowing he's one of their best players, I think speaks a lot of him as well. But the scores he kicked were unbelievable, and some of the scores that Rian O'Neill got.
Hold on a second. The second Soupy Campbell score.
Beat the second score.
When Grugan slips it to him. On the run.
Bade was fourth.
I would love to have kicked that score. I mean, that is class. Because he's basically caught it.
So good.
He's caught it and dropped it on the volley. He nearly did a James Rodriguez, only chests it down and volleys it in the World Cup. He basically did that. Like, just caught it and dropped it straight onto the foot. I think he dropped it with two hands. But that was it. Like, they wanted to just get him on the ball. I think Grugan slips it to him in that situation and he just puts it straight over. But like, at that stage, they had all the momentum.
Yeah, I met him in the tunnel. Aisling was speaking to Rian O'Neill and I had just got Conor Turbitt and Soupy was going by me. And I just said, man, that second point. And he goes, oh yeah, the one on the turn, on the run. Like, and he was just like, oh yeah. He was like, yeah. So you just know. Like,
they are just great, great scores.
Can we just
but in fairness, well,
at the time, right?
No, go on, Paddy.
Just on the goal chances.
Yes.
At the time, I know looking back now, when you lose the game in extra time by 2 points, you look back at Tom Sullivan's two goal chances and go, Jesus Christ, what an opportunity. But at the time, like, Clifford gets a point off the first one. And then the second one is...
That wasn't a bad outcome, getting the point.
But were you thinking at the time going, that's going to come back to bite us? Because Kerry were four up. Like, Kerry were really dominant at that point. Yeah. Like, it's a bad miss, but I think we're still going to be fine. Was that the general consensus, like, or...?
Yeah, I thought, right, we're opening up now. That's what I was thinking. I was like, there'll be another chance.
Brilliant moves.
At the top level, Paddy, we've seen it so many times. We've been in games. Those chances don't come too often. Like, you know, you think, right, we missed that, we'll get another one. You won't fucking get another one. Like, you need to be ruthless in those situations. And Kerry just weren't at the time. And they're big moments. Like, even with Shane Ryan's one, he'd catch that 99 times out of 100. A top keeper. Like, handling unbelievable. So you'd nearly give him that once-off mistake. If he had it back again, he might have fisted it or he might have caught it kind of head height. He kind of went into
which goal chance?
Hits his arm.
The first one.
The The goal?
No, for the actual goal. I mean, for his save off Mernon, that was an incredible save. So he actually made it okay with the save in the first half. You're always going to have the odd mistake, but goal chances have to fucking
One second, right? Look at your WhatsApp there, lad. I'm about to send you two photographs. Okay, and there's been a couple of times this year where we've lingered on a moment and we've talked about the skills or the ability to execute in that moment, right? Tom Sullivan is one of the most talented footballers in the country. He has got the best left boot about for most defenders, for nearly anyone. You back him every day of the week. Now, personally, I think Joe Connor should have backed himself in that chance. He should have backed himself.
Yeah, and buried
it, right? But 100%. Look at the first image there. When Tom gets it, it's never in his head to roll it in with his right foot. And in the second one, when he receives it, it's so much more difficult hitting that on your left.
Mm.
But this is the point he's going to make, right? He knows they get the point after first play, but Tom Sullivan's thinking to himself, that was a goal chance. So he finds himself. You say it, Jimmy. You think that chance is gone. We're not going to get another one. He gets the chance himself again, like 2 minutes later. He can't believe it. He's in that position again. And he'd been in that situation before where it's such an open goal. He just thinks, just get a good connection on this. And this is going to win. Put the laces through. I'm so close to the goal. It's such an opportunity. If I just get a good strike on this, this is going in the net. And he ends up just... Yeah, you're right, Tommy. Not in either one of them is he thinking going on his right foot. But with the second one, he's just get a good connection. But Huckerberg, this is going to go in somehow. And he skews it wide. And they were two unbelievable moves. The hand-passing move for the first chance was unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was an absolute power play. Kerry at their absolute best. And then the second one is Paddy Clifford. Incredible. Diving block, gets up, kicks a 50-yard pass into Sean.
Do you know what he did
two
before?
Unbelievable moves.
Paddy's pointing. Paddy has the ball in his hand. He does this so much. I love this from Paddy Clifford. He's pointing to Sean O'Shea where he wants him to go. He has that time and he spins up the outside the left.
Because he wants to fade. He wants to fade that left, outside the left. He is absolute expert at that pass. Always on point. Always on point.
You're right, Paddy. The moves were gorgeous, but I just wanted to highlight that because we've spoken about Ryan O'Donoghue not taking that free off his left or Cormac Costello not taking that free off his left. And it struck me at the weekend, even the hand pass that Costello got his left hand, it struck me at the weekend watching Oisin Gallen. I spent 90% of that game believing that Oisin Gallen was naturally left footed and he just had a really good right foot.
He said this to Mark McHugh on the lift on the way down.
He is right legged with a good left, isn't he? No, he's a lefty.
He's right footed. But
he's right footed with it. I didn't know he had the Kitog in the
left.
I believe he was left footed because he kept going back in his left and he kicked two beauties in the first half of his left. And then he kicks one off the two right. Beauties. And I was like, hold on a second, where's this fella naturally from? And then in the press conference afterwards, McGuinness, I was thinking, okay, he's a lefty, he's taking it on his right, he's gone for it, he's missed it on the near side. But McGuinness is like, Oisin Gallen scores that free 100 times over in his sleep. He was like, the little bits of luck that went against Donegal yesterday. Ooh.
I left the room. I took it as a point. I couldn't believe it when I came back in. Those moments in the big matches, like that drop by Shane Ryan, sometimes they just go against you. Do you know, just some things that just, you can't even account for them.
James,
things that are thrown at you in the big games.
You were beside me for the two goals, the two scrappy goals in the first game, right? Paul Murphy slaps in a shot dropping short, and then we obviously saw McCambridge's handball into the net. But when Matthew Tierney made that run across Sean Paton and Paul Conroy's ball bounced into the net, I thought of you and your dismay at all the dropping shots that have ended up as goals from the likes of the Dubs over the years. It's such a dangerous shot. And three goals this weekend, important goals, came from poorly executed shots that just ended up in the back of the net. It's amazing how those things can happen.
So common. There's no creativity in it. It's such a frustrating goal to concede because the team hasn't done well to break you down. It's just kind of a poor connection or a shot tailed off.
Tierney did well.
But like, I felt sorry. He did.
Sorry for Patton.
The only thing could he have attacked the ball earlier? I don't know, because it was such a low trajectory shot by Conroy.
Yeah.
I don't know, could he have taken a step out? But if you see someone coming across you, it's very easy to talk about it. It's in the split second.
Tierney did very well there.
Like for Kerry's goal, you were probably surprised Clifford misses the shot. It's Dermot O'Connor who does unbelievably well to get it back across, and a brilliant finish, volleyball from Paul Murphy. like say for Paul Conroy's goal, Tierney does brilliant just to get across, and he's so close to Patton. There's no time to react, so there's not a lot he could do.
Yeah,
but I said it to his lads from the Shane Ryan's. He's an unbelievable goalkeeper, one of the best there is.
Yeah, top level.
At that point, Kerry are cruising, and I know Armagh, we know the resilience and their athleticism and impact they get off the bench, but Kerry are in control of that game, and Armagh don't look like scoring a goal. And we know they're not going to go away because they've shown they fight and they've all unbelievable traits as a team. But they're struggling to hang on to Kerry's coattails. And that play, that mistake, it is a mistake. And you have to hold your hand up. He gets, maybe it's, I think it's Jason Duffy intercepts the kick out, so he's a bit frazzled. Maybe by that, he goes with a safer option. I'm going to take it into my chest as opposed to maybe catching over my head or just fisting it out. And he just gets caught. And McCain, which unbelievable finish. Probably a little bit of luck. The fact that he's placed that.
A serious connection.
Brilliant. Unbelievable finish.
Forearm that, strength.
I said it last year. We were in the All-Ireland final last year, and Kerry were in a very similar position against Dublin, where they were a better team. They were in control of the match. Dublin were struggling to kind of get any momentum, and Gavin White has his error as well. It's a brain freeze. Dublin get a goal, and then the momentum all goes with them, and it was so similar. I seen it, and then the following 10 minutes, it was like Armagh, out of nowhere, the crowd are even more involved now, and the energy they had. And from that point on, from Kerry, I thought were really, really good for 40 minutes of that match. Yeah. The best I'd seen from them this season in terms of their attack, their kind of purpose and intent with the ball and without the ball. But that goal goes in, and for the next 40 minutes, there's only one team there. Kerry just could not wrestle back that momentum. And it's a credit to Armagh, unbelievable, and they were fully deserving victors. But it just shows one mistake, one error can be fatal. At this stage, and it's not to throw Shane Ryan under the bus at all.
I think the Kerry had plenty time though, Paddy, to come back from that. You know what I mean? Like, I know it was a little bit of a switch in momentum at the time, but like, you still have enough. Yeah, you should still. Yeah, you still have enough time. Like the only thing I know, Jack said it in the presser after the game, but like, it was like an away game with the amount of Armagh support in the stadium, like.
It was though.
It was probably, he probably shouldn't have said it too quickly or whatever, but like it was like an away game. Do you know, like the Armagh fans were unbelievable, like, and you're right, like as soon as they latched onto a moment.
Yeah.
Well, not that he shouldn't have said it, but it was just a case of like, I don't know, I'd say he probably wanted to say that with a while, but he didn't. Do you know that Kerry don't really travel for, to be fair, what is it, an hour and a half from Armagh down, it's 4 hours from Kerry up, do you know?
Yeah,
I always think crowd just so important. We played a game in the Gaelic grounds against Limerick. The Kerry support were unbelievable. Like an hour and a half down the road, it was just
Mayo.
Absolutely
Mayo
packed. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But it does make a difference. Like your supporters, and they can keep you in the game. I thought when Kerry were in control, the Armagh support really got them through. Yeah. And then I thought that McGeaney made some very good substitutions at the right times.
Yeah.
Especially with Campbell and with Nugent.
I want to get into that in a second. I just want to ask you one last question back to Nugent on you then. I want to ask you one last question on Kerry, right? In the first half, and maybe the wind had a factor here, right? But in the first half, 10 scores from 12 shots, 83% conversion rate. By the end of normal time, 15 scores from 35 shots, 43% conversion rate. By the end of extra time, they missed their first 6 shots in extra time. They scored 2. They missed their last 3. It's 17 from 46 down to 38%. How did that desert them in the second half?
Well, I think kicking down into the hill was very tricky. Like in the second half. Yeah, so they'd had a great first half, but. Nearly anything you threw up in the air was nearly getting sucked over the bar into the canal end. But I think the hill was a lot trickier, and I think we found it hard to get our shooters on the ball, because in the first half, I remember saying it to you, Tom, above, I thought the Armagh defenders were actually a little bit off the carry forwards in the first 20. Mm. Paddy had the run of the place. David Clifford got a mark. And he had a few nice possessions around there. Darren Moynihan was kicking in loads of ball. Shawnee kicked over a point from the 40 in 20 yards of space. But once that happened, I think McGeaney changed something and they got tighter. They changed their matchup, so they got a little bit tighter. And those lads just found it a lot more difficult then to get the space to take the shots. And kicking into that goal proved to be very difficult. And then the longer it goes on, the harder it is. And then because that was the feature of it, I think.
Yeah.
Especially with Kerry kicking the ball. I don't think Kerry kicked the ball enough. And the longer it goes on without kicking it, the harder it gets to start kicking.
Paddy.
Because everyone knows what you want to do.
He spent the game, Paddy, screaming, kick the ball. That must have happened 7 or 8 times.
But that's only because I could see that they were on.
Yeah.
Paddy, do you know when you're in the stadium and you have this unbelievable vantage point? Like, there's kicks on, but I think that the game got so nervy and tetchy that then you do take the safer option, naturally.
But you have to give massive credit to Armagh's defence. It wasn't just, Kerry, we know they have the quality and their scoring efficiency did drop massively. But Armagh's intensity in their defending was off the charts as well. We said that's never been an issue for Armagh in terms of their individual defenders and the system that they play. I thought it was a brilliant game, and I think there's massive credit. I think of four teams from the weekend, McGeaney, Jack O'Connor, McGuinness and Paul Joyce, and those players deserve massive credit because all four teams went to win the game. There was no conservatism, and I know Armagh struggled in the first quarter in particular in terms of getting that forward shape. You know, and we've seen that from them at times in the Ulster Championship as well, notably against Down in the semi-final and in the last quarter against Donegal, where they want to move the ball quickly. And that's been the big plus for Armagh over the last 5 or 6 weeks. But they haven't got the bodies up there because they're bringing lots of guys back into their defence, which is fine. Every team brings 14, 15 guys back in their defence. But they weren't getting their shape up front, so they struggled to get scores in the first half. But their second half, the intensity they had, I thought Kerry were absolutely, it was the best I'd seen from Kerry this season. 40, 45 minutes with and without the ball. There was intent in everything they were doing. That kind of passiveness and really lethargic play from the quarterfinal against Derry wasn't there. They knew, we said it last week, they need to know there's a hurricane coming down the track. And they did. You could see it in every one of their possessions in that first half. They were scanning out, how do I get this ball inside quickly? And I was like, this is Kerry at their best. And Armagh was struggling to deal with it. Armagh couldn't really operate it like that themselves up front because they didn't have the bodies up there, but they kind of grew into the game. But in the second half, I agree, Jimmy, maybe there's a bit of wind. Of course, we've played there. It can be harder to score into the hill. That's no secret. But there's also Armagh were just all over the Kerry forwards. Maybe Kerry were running out a bit of like puff as well.
McCambridge. We've been in that McCambridge situation. Is on Clifford and McKay is doubling up.
Yeah, McCambridge was a brilliant job. Let me finish here. Hold on. The other thing as well, Kerry, when the game gets really, really tight, there is a tendency to maybe try and play it a bit safer. And this is not something I'd normally associate with Kerry of all teams, that they'll still take risks because they're experienced, they're the All-Ireland champions from 2 years ago. But there was definitely an element of that they could feel the game was going against them. And I think Tomás O'Shea was very passionate about this on the TV coverage, that there was a sense of, we don't want to make a mistake here, which is something you would assume from an inexperienced team or a young team, which is not, Kerry have players who've done it, but there was a sense of, we're under pressure for scores here. Let's just keep shifting the ball around till we get a really safe play. Mm. And that's so un-Kerry.
Which you're never going to get enough of them either, like.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so like you'd expect that if you're looking down at two teams, you'd probably say Armagh are going to fall into that trap because they haven't been in that situation in a semi-final before. But they had the shackles completely thrown off. The crowd did momentum. Whereas Kerry seemed to go within themselves. And that also plays a part in that they had a lot of sloppy turnovers in their forwards, which is something you don't see. And then they eventually take shots. You know, that's... They're kind of falling between two stools. We're going to try and work the ball for a really good shot, which they turn the ball over. And then they end up taking some bad shots as well. Geaney, Paddy Clifford as well, guilty of it. These are experienced players. So there was just a cocktail going on in that final quarter. And Kerry, I felt they seemed to just retreat into themselves as a team, which was just so un-Kerry-like. Mm.
Do you know what I was thinking when, in terms of kicking the ball, right? Do you know what, usually if you're kicking in the ball, your eye likes to see a forward and a defender.
Yeah.
And preferably the defender behind the forward, right? So you can kick it into them, lovely. But like the setups of defences now are like, you might have three defenders occupying a bit of a zone and a forward kind of unmarked, but like in a hole between three of them. Mm-hmm. I think that it's actually an easier kick, but it's like an untrained eye at the moment. The fellas aren't getting used to it because it just looks like a blur of bodies. I wonder, will someone crack that as we go on?
I don't know if it's an easier kick. I think you have to be really precise.
Yeah.
Traditionally, the back
is... It's just not as nice on the eye.
Forwards making the angle run. You go, if I put it anywhere outside the man, I'm sure the kids listening, kick the ball outside the man since they were like under six. Mm. It doesn't need to be a great ball, but once it's outside there, he's going to get it. Whereas you're right, you know, we've seen some beautiful, like Rory Grubin is very good at it. Rob Finnerty did a beautiful one yesterday where it's nearly like a soccer pass. It's nearly like a slide rule pass. You need to be really precise with it and you can get into the gaps then. And there could be six defenders there.
Yeah.
Pass basically dissects that area. And again, Kerry fucking have players to do this. Of course they do. Of all the teams. Like Paddy's pass to Sean Shea is a beautiful outside, like inch perfect. And it's... But if you're under pressure, and the reality is it's all around semi-finals, going down the stretch, teams are level. That is pressure. That is as pressurized as it gets.
Mm.
There can be a reluctance to make that play. It's easier if it's the old school. It's the man's following him out. Like just, I have 30 yards of space to hit there.
But those passes are gone now because they're filling pockets. They're stopping the pass outside the man. And it's when you're looking in, it just doesn't look quite on.
On that pressure and the towards the end of the game, Paddy, that you're talking about, we're going to move to the Armagh subs now, but I found it quite telling that Dylan Ganey kicks the equaliser for Kerry and the next score they kick is Killian Burke. And it's like it's a stage where, and Ganey actually gets another shot later on, but it was a difficult one. But the Burke point to me was, this fella just realised that nobody else is going to do it here. Like, he's a young fella, been in and out of the team, and he just took on the Armagh defence and kicked a brilliant point. Paddy gets the turnover from the kick out in the next one, from the when Goff blew it up for the not being inside the D the second time in the game. Like, that to me, that was telling, and I wonder, should the likes of Dylan Ganey and Killian Burke have been backed a little earlier in the season, maybe they would have taken on a little bit more of the responsibility early on.
They both had injuries, a substantial period out of action.
On the flip side of that, and it's something we've spoken about with McGeaney quite a bit, the manner in which he has kept his panel happy and kept them ready to rock has been unbelievable, because he's operating with 20 players here that are dying for a jersey. Like, we don't see Jarley O'Burns. And then he just appears an extra time and he bosses the first period. Ross McQuillan was off the charts in that game. He had his hands on so much ball, gets a brilliant point. You mentioned Aidan Nugent, not happening for him. Whipped off, Conor Turbitt comes back in. Like, the decisions made on the line by Armagh throughout the year, the decisions made with their panel, the manner in which they've added to every single game has just been unbelievable to watch.
But they've done it in every game, Tommy. Every single game they've done it, whether they're winning, losing. If you're in that squad, you know 21 players are going to play here.
Mm.
Every single game. And you're talking about Ross McQuillan and Jarley O'Burns. Like, they are absolute, I've said this before, ideal substitutes for the final quarter. Raw pace, athleticism, and crow power. Mm. Like, if you have anything about you, you will do well in that situation. With the athleticism and the pace they have, you're the defenders and the opposing team. You just don't want that. This was the big thing with Dublin a couple weeks ago with Jack McCarthy. Pace, yes. Raw speed in a final quarter in Croke Park is an unbelievable tool to have. And Armagh have that in abundance. Have it in abundance. And on the Kerry side, like, these guys have been given opportunities as well. Like, Killian Burke, I think he's absolutely a player for the future. But there was a sense, definitely, and particularly in the extra time, where it was like, not a passing the buck when Kerry get the ball, they're shifting it around. Like, but you could see that there was an edge, a nervousness in their play, which I thought that was the most surprising thing out of everything. That was like, David wasn't having his best game. That's a credit, again, to the Armagh defence and McCambridge for the job he was doing. But this was the kind of question mark on, if David Clifford isn't exceptional, this is the fear for Kerry. Do we have enough outside of that? And Shawny Shea, I thought, started really well, had a good game. Paddy Clifford at moments had a good game, but they were found wanting. And of all the things you say with Kerry, you say at least you'd always back their attack, at least, that they're going to create and finish the scores. And it's kind of a bit of maybe Kerry serious improvement to do there. But also, you have to give massive credit to that Armagh defence and the intensity they were playing at.
Unbelievable.
And yeah. That's...
I think it did come down to that shift in momentum, and Kerry just couldn't wrestle it back and had missed chances, and they just left too much after them to be able to wrestle it back. And once it was gone, you could just sense this is trouble. Like, we were getting deeper and deeper into the hole. But you know, in fairness to Blaine Hughes, right, in extra time, he was outstanding. And he picked out a couple of kickouts laid on under pressure when Kerry were trying to press. He went long. He went long to Turbot at one stage, and brilliant. He won it. It was just an inspirational win. And he backed the fellas out there to go along and win them. And that got him the scores. Like, those long kickouts and that long pass from Rian O'Neill, like those kind of things, a little bit of bravery, something a bit different, got them over the line. Along with, I think, which actually did play a factor, Armagh looked in incredible shape. Like, they were at the start of the game in extra time. They were, but like, even for Turbot's final score, and you think Turbot is, you think Turbot is a power athlete where he has how many sprints in him, and he'd be cramping and all this stuff. Or, you know, like, he has to be minded like a bit of a Turbot. Last minute of extra time, after coming off and coming back on again, and he goes half the length of the field, passing fellas out. Like, the athleticism was incredible by them. So I think that was another factor.
AC Milan.
Yes.
Great shout, Paddy. I was thinking, do you know what? Is he going to go for goal here?
If he did, lads, and he missed it, and we can only got a point. I give him that hand pass over the bar.
I was speaking to him, and he did say, as he was running with the ball, he was worried about the hammer. You know, just the leg or the cramp, something cramping up. But he said he had Barry McCambridge on his shoulder, bursting off his shoulder, and just the adrenaline carried him through. I think even having a teammate off his shoulder helped in that regard. That was a huge score, because it just...
But even on Blaine Hughes, like, what a fucking ballsy call by McGeady, because Ethan Rafferty has been outstanding for him. One of their best players over the last number of years.
Yeah. Road Bowl champion 2024.
One of the goalkeepers coming out.
100%. Huge.
But he is, of all the goalkeepers to come out, along with Niall Morgan, he's one of the best. And he comes back from his injury, and he's been back all, not all summer, but the last couple of months. And McGeady, there's a temptation. Is Rafferty going to go straight back in? And he's back to Hughes. And Hughes, and that's hard for Ethan Rafferty, of course. But McGeady's made that call. And look how that has worked out for him in terms of the dividends they're getting from that. But the biggest thing, we have spoken so many times in the last two or three seasons about Armagh, the quality they have, the potential they have, the quality forwards they have, if they're more aggressive with the ball. And whatever has changed, and McGeady might say nothing's changed, we're doing this all the time, they fucking weren't. They absolutely weren't. The last 6 weeks, whether it's the heartbreak, and even for a large part of the Ulster final, they were playing this way, particularly the first half, kick passes into Turbot. They seem to have just... whether it's a confidence in themselves, whether they've said we're sick of losing these tight games, or they've just said, let's just back ourselves. Let's believe in our attack. Let's believe in that quick transition. Because when they do it, and they've done it for the last 4 or 5 weeks, look at what they can do. They're a game away from being the All-Ireland champions. You know, and that was the frustration with not, you know, giving out about the coaches are saying this, that, and the other. It was just like, you could see the potential in this team with those players, with the players they have, the ceiling they could reach, and whatever's gone on over the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've tapped into that. They've backed themselves. You could see it right from the start on Saturday. They went after Kerry. Yeah. And they were like, we didn't know last week. We were talking about, are they going to try? Are they going to fall into that trap where we've seen from maybe Armagh 12 months ago or 18 months ago, where they're going to try and contain Kerry, be really slow? They threw that out the window. They went after Kerry and they got the rewards. So they said, you can't win the biggest things unless you go after it. And all four teams did it at the weekend. But Armagh, what a story it is. And it just shows when they back themselves how good they can be.
Yeah. No,
do you know, just on McGeady and his changes and stuff, Tom.
Yeah.
Is there a delay there? Is that, I can't... Can you hear me?
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
There's a 20-second delay. You'll have to cut this out.
It's okay. Keep going. No, keep going. I'm not making any edits. I'm too tired. Keep going.
What the fuck was I going to say there? Oh, yeah, McGeaney. Like, do you know the way he brought on Nugent? Nugent had a couple of turnovers, and in that cauldron, you can get mentally fried. So he goes, do you know what? And Nugent could have done something after that. He could have come up and got a point. But he said, do you know what? Not worth the risk. We'll get him out of there. But he's earned the right to kind of do that, McGeaney, because he's made tough decisions constantly. Even last year, we'd be talking about Turbot sometimes last year, and then he mightn't even start him. Do you know, he'd bring him on, or even in the quarterfinal, he took Rian O'Neill off after 48 minutes. I think, like, the trust that he has of those players, because he's kind of been fair to all of them and he's been harsh on all of them. I think he kind of has them eaten out of the palm of his hand a bit. I think the management of that team, from team selection to bringing them off the ground after penalty shootout defeats, the job that they have done, honestly, 10 out of 10 to be in the All Ireland final. I would not have put them. Quarterfinalists, I would have said maybe at the start of the season.
No.
For them to be in a final is incredible going.
Jimmy, 2 months ago, there's no one. We were saying this yesterday, Tommy. No one in the country is saying Galway Armagh is going to be the All-Ireland. Tommy, shut up.
I'll go back and get no.
Yeah, Tommy's claiming now that he had Armagh back from the start.
In fairness, boy, who got their prediction right at the weekend? Who got their predictions right at the weekend?
Did you listen to what I said at the start of the championship? Not even said 2 months ago, the All Ireland final will be Galway Armagh. No chance.
No, of course not.
But what they've done, both of those teams, we said there's a lot of shadow boxing. The championship is what, just over three months ago, the first week of April. Teams who have timed their runs over the last 4 weeks, when it really matters, these two teams have been the best two teams.
Well,
they've got
the only thing is about that, Paddy. In terms of timing the run, Armagh gave the National League a good crack. Do you know, they didn't withhold anything there and got to the league final, and then had an unbelievably difficult Ulster, and into the groups a difficult group. Like, they've been through the ringer for the year. Like, just sort of keep at that level.
Galway's team has played for half the year as well.
We're going to get to Galway, but I think what we've got here is two unbelievable squads, and they've both been fostered in very different ways. Joyce's hand has been forced this year, and players have stepped up and kept them up. But they're both, like, in such different places, in such good places, but two fascinating squads. You mentioned there about nobody predicting Galway Armagh. Pádraig Joyce said in the press conference afterwards, just before we were chatting, Paddy, he was asked about that. You know, you were happy after you drew that Armagh game. You were still kind of happy after the game. And he said, go ask Kieran McGeaney what I texted him that night. And now, he wouldn't tell us in the press conference, but he must have said, see you on the last Sunday in July. So I wonder, will that come out this week during the All-Ireland press launches? Armagh are doing theirs tonight. And I'll be at Galway's on Thursday evening after their training session. But there's just two quick things. I want to take a break then, and we're going to get into Galway, Donegal. Two quick things. Two things Peter Canavan said on RT at the weekend. He was sitting out, so they're on the fifth tier, the TV boxes, and he was sitting in the steps or on the seats just outside the room where they record the Sunday game. And obviously BBC are beside them. And in the 66th minute, when Armagh win that ball from the throw-in, and Shane Ryan got stung for kicking the ball when one of his teammates were leaving the D, Oisín McConville is screaming, shoot, shoot, as Rian O'Neill gets the ball 55 yards from goal. Like, just knowing that a fella has that in the locker. And we saw very similar then, the next day with Michael Langan scoring a point from 47 yards in the 62nd minute. It was just the quality of those points were off the charts. But the other thing that Canavan said, you mentioned the clubs who voted to get rid of McGeaney last year, and there was a vote to get rid of McGeaney last year in Armagh, and he just got through by the skin of his teeth. Canavan said, I just hope those Armagh clubs that were looking to get rid of him now will get a reduced ticket allocation for the final. And then it obviously brought up the Kildare tweet. Richard Commons tweeted, a gentle reminder of those that voted Geezer out 11 years ago. And he tweeted all the names from the clubs and the delegates that voted out McGeaney. back then.
He tweeted, what? He called them all out.
He called everyone out.
That's spicy. That's spicy.
It's just an interesting element of how it's all kind of set up in 2 weeks' time, because McKinney's a decade in the job. People obviously didn't want him to be in it this year. And I actually just listened to a video of the start of the press conference tonight, and the delegate that had kind of launched it, could have been the Armagh chairman, I'm not sure who it was, said, we would not be in the All-Ireland final if anyone other than Kieran McGeaney was coaching us this season. So, very interesting. You are listening to The Football Pod, brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We are talking Galway Donegal right after these.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
All right, you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. James, it's safe to say you broke the internet last week when you revealed to the nation that you had not seen A Year Till Sunday. Have you corrected that?
What's that? I did. I watched it. I'd say I watched it about half an hour later. I went straight on and I polished it. Oh, unbelievable viewing. In fairness now, I must say, top quality. Like, what an insight into the dressing room. Even into that era. It's not that long ago, like, but I mean, it's different. Do you know what I mean? And I just thought that it was top quality viewing. I really enjoyed it. Great production by Pat Comer. I'd love to actually see a picture of him recording it. Like, what was he recording on? A little handheld?
Oh, proper video
recorder. Like.
Proper video.
Was it proper?
Yeah. Well, could you understand my reaction? Because a lot of people said it to me this week, even in the press box in Crow Park, like, Jesus, has James actually watched The Year Till Sunday yet? Like, could you understand how I was part horrified, part jealous that you were getting to watch this for the first time?
Mm. Well, I suppose if there was a documentary about Kerry, I'd have probably seen it. Like, like everyone writing in was from Galway. Like,
they weren't. Everybody
were. I tell you, everyone.
Oh, Jimmy, I got a few texts as well.
You're a joke in the kingdom. You just think it's like football never happened.
To be fair,
in 1998.
I was still in my David Beckham stage when that came out. I was still wearing the Preds.
Peak best.
And going playing for United. But no, there's so many. Do you know what? Actually, completely, because the Kerry trend. When Mikko went into the dressing room after losing,
yeah,
I thought that was class. Like the speech he had, it was the humility. I thought was unreal. Like, and do you know who was the best player? As if Jaf Allen was playing now, honestly, there'd be a statue of him outside Croke Park. The point he got outside of the left from under the Hogan in the All Ireland semi final.
Yeah.
It was a disgrace. Running down the wrong side, outside the left, half punt, half outside the left. It was unbelievable. And Michael Donlan.
What an
athlete. What an athlete. And next thing they interviewed him, and it was like interviewing an under 10. And next thing you see a clip of him, and he absolutely steamrolling fellas.
I thought he comes across so well. I think in it, there's an innocence there when he's talking.
Yeah.
But it's like that with a lot of the lads. Like, it's pre-social media. Like, you just know that a lot of the lads haven't had phones in their faces all the time. There's a rawness.
That's the thing. Look at it, the context of it now. Like, how many fly on the wall, Netflix, Amazon Prime, shitty behind the scenes, like filtered down to within an inch of its life. Like, this was like the late 90s, the GAA team. Like, it was proper behind the scenes. Like, our age, like, we were obviously growing up. I remember being there in the final and just getting into GAA at the time, like, and it's just, it's a great, but it's aged, you know, things can age badly from a long time, but that is like, to see it for the first time, it is goldust stuff, like, and they are legends, like Donlan, it wasn't the 98, it was the 2001 final. What's the one where Donlan runs basically the pitch?
But he does it in 98 and Sean O'Dopair kicks a point off it. He runs the entire pitch.
That again, was unbelievable.
In 2001.
Is Declan Meehan's goal
in 2000. Paul Clancy
from the corner. What a pass.
Paul Clancy over the shoulder.
GAA pass.
And they're actually very good friends, Clancy and Meehan. They've always been very good.
Clancy had a broken leg in the documentary, didn't he?
And you get to see how, like, you know, he loses his place in the middle of the season and trying to win it back. And actually, Declan Meehan actually lost his place early that year as well. And he actually doesn't win it back until he convinces Jono to put him back in defence.
Yeah.
Can I just make
But you know, even the way, even though he was calling out the team, like, yes, I was class, like, so old school. Like, nearly, congratulations to the lads. Like, oh, it was just brilliant.
You can really see why Jono won what he won. Like. You go through it.
Yesterday,
I'd say you kill for him.
To win just once.
Ah, gorgeous.
Unbelievable. Jimmy, you want to see it on yesterday? Nice, Park.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It was a brilliant piece.
It was really well done.
Good friend of mine. Unbelievable coach. Declan Darcy wrote a piece in the Irish Times today. Did you see it? About John O'Mahony.
Yeah.
He's obviously the Leitrim manager. Unbelievable. I know Dec very well. I texted him after. He said, this fella was, what a man. Like, and it was emotional at Croke Park yesterday, wasn't it?
It was a really it was really well done.
It was brilliant, yeah. It was touching Galway supporters, Donegal supporters, everyone in the stadium.
Yeah.
I'd say they could have kept clapping for another hour.
The montage beforehand was lovely as well.
Powerful.
But even the way he spoke to players, I thought was, you know, it was class. Like, he just had, he respected them and they respected him. There was just a nice, you could tell it was a nice relationship. I'd say he had that with a lot of people, just the way about him.
But that Galway team, like, I mentioned last week how, you know, Kevin Walsh was considering not playing. Ray Silk had a long season with the club. Jaff Allen nearly didn't happen. Like, he was with Connacht Rugby in 97. And I think the word is that he was only offered a part-time contract and he was like, nah, I'm going to go back playing football. And you see the impact he
Jazz
had.
The man.
Jazz the man.
Jazz the man.
Eric Savage. You know what, Michael McMullen, brilliant journalist from Derry, was covering the game at the weekend and we were chatting about this and we were actually on about James not watching it. And he told me about his favourite part in it. And it's when the Derry jersey appears on screen, Paddy. I'm just going to play this little bit. And it's on my phone here. So you might be able to see it. But it's more so what you hear.
Never mind the ordinary Derry jersey. Do you want to get the away one?
Copperfish Jacks.
Where did you get that?
Copperfish Jacks.
All the best stuff comes from there, lads.
Brilliant.
All the best stuff.
So, a year till Sunday. It's only 13 days now till Sunday again for Pádraig Joyce and his Galway team to get back. They got the job done against Donegal. Paddy, how did Galway get the job done?
I think they just outlasted that Donegal team. We said Donegal would bring massive intensity, that running game. You cannot get away from how brilliant Galway were at nullifying that running threat. You know, all the talk beforehand, the Donegal half-back line, Ryan McHugh, Pádraig Mogan, the scores they were going to get. They only have one shot, never mind the score, one shot between them in the whole game. Pádraig Mogan, tough shot on his left peg from underneath the Cusack stand, dropped short. And it was Galway who get 4 points from their half-back line. Two from Dylan McHugh, who was having a season of his life. What a performance over the last couple of weeks. And two from Liam Silk as well. So the organisation, how compact Galway were. And they didn't have 15 guys back. This was, we're talking about how Galway were being really, really brave. They kept Finnerty, Walsh and Comer up. Fucking hell, I was loving it. I was going,
that made a difference.
Still be playing if this was the case. Yeah. Three forwards, you guys stay up.
It was like they were playing the experimental rules.
Yeah, leave the 12 lads back. We'll deal with it. And it shows you can do it if you're really well organised. We could see how compact Galway were. And they didn't man mark McHugh or Mogan. It was like, no, we'll set up from our 65 back in. We'd be really narrow, nearly between not the width of the post, just beyond that. And they were not leaving any gaps or any lanes for Donegal strike runners. And they did that exceptionally well.
Just to ask you that on that, Paddy, like, because obviously you can't see it on TV. That's interesting because I wasn't sure. Did they actually defend very central, or did they leave fellas out wide to stop Pádraig Mogan and McHugh, or did they they trusted that they get over?
Details. We weren't saying, are they going to put, I don't know who to put, go man to man with Pádraig Mogan. Obviously, but was the obvious one with the 5 points the last year. But it was, no, we'll get our 12 guys back. We'll kind of play nearly a box between, like I say, it's normal, if not in Croke Park, but normal pitches where there's the width of the back stop nets behind the goals. It's nearly like that. They left the really wide channels open. And I go, look, if the kick scores from out there, I thought the only drawback, and it's a credit to Donegal from Galway in the first half, Donegal get 10 points all from play, well, nine from playing a mark from Kieran Thompson, but long range scores.
Great.
I'm thinking, unbelievable scores. Like Langan kicks 4 points. Boomers Thompson gets two. He has another one that drops short in the second half, which looks for all the world we were right behind. It would have been a massive score. Just drops under the crossbar for Conor Deason. But I thought Galway were probably a little bit passive in that. You could see we're going to stop the runners. We're not going to let that. We have bodies back. But we know Donegal's threat from long range kicking. I thought Paul Joyce would have been a little bit disappointed with that in the first half, that we'd loads of bodies back, really well set, but we need to be a little bit more aggressive. Not giving away silly frees, which, like, Donegal only get one free, I think. One score, McBrearty kicks, and then obviously Oisin Gallon's one that he misses, but Donegal only score one free.
And there wasn't really a sniff of a goal chance, Paddy, as well.
To be fair, on either side, obviously Conroy's goal.
Yes.
And he did get the sense, whatever about we're talking about the Kerry game and Tom Sullivan missing those two chances. When Conroy's goal goes in, you do get the sense how tight this game was going to be, that was going to be a massive score, because there was no goal chances to be heard of. And that one goes in. You felt that might be the difference. It turns out it was. So Galway's defensive system was really good. Half back line, I thought, was Dylan McHugh in particular, was exceptional. They did really well, Conor Gleeson, on their long kickouts, because I tell you what, Donegal went after Gleeson in that first half. They pushed up on every single kickout.
And how
a couple off short, which is probably not his strength, but he did, and that's a massive credit to him. And he backed the long kickouts, backed Tierney, Johnny Marr, Conroy.
They're serious targets up at, aren't they? They're serious targets.
To be fair, why wouldn't you?
Comer and Walsh won kickouts too. Like, Paddy, the joy, the difference it made, long kickouts happening and catching Donegal off it with Tierney. Like, that's what I'm saying, Tommy, about
teams being brave. Possession of 9 pence of the law for a lot of teams, that we want to keep the ball. Whereas if you've got Galway's weapons, Johnny Heaney coming off the bench as well, Keane Darcy started, just these are all fucking monsters. Like, why wouldn't you keep
Keane Darcy is massive.
And that's the interesting thing, looking ahead to 2 weeks, Armagh and Grimley and Creeley and these guys. What a midfield battle that's going to be on long kickouts. But Galway, without Walsh being at his best, Comer only has one shot. Pulls it wide in his left foot. So he's not operating at his peak. Brendan McCall wins that battle.
Mm-hmm.
So they need more from Comer. So it wasn't the A-listers, kind of the X-factor players for Galway, that won them the game yesterday. I thought Rob Finnerty was probably their best inside forward.
He was clever, wasn't he?
Really, really smart. And a game like that, Jimmy, you know, when it's very nuanced games, a lot of tactics in it, his kind of really intelligent runs, you can see he's a player with confidence. You can see we're talking about Joyce having been forced throughout the course of the season to play guys because guys are injured. Finnerty's taken on that kind of mantle and he's carrying that in now into the business end of the season. So I just thought that their offensive system, they shut down a lot of Donegal's key threats. They were disciplined in their offence. They got their scores just a little bit easier. Like Donegal only scored a point in the last 25 minutes.
But they reverted, Paddy. They did that slow attack. They slowed their attack right down.
They were waiting for Galway to switch off, and we'll get Bong Gallagher went off with an injury at that point. But that's what Donegal have attacked this season. We'll be slow, and then bang.
When they were two points down, when the 4 minutes injury time went up and they were two down, and then they had the ball for a minute doing nothing, like, you know, just sauntering up the field. I said, "That's you." Fucking running out of time, like, when you go for it, like, you know, just break a line or something, and then suddenly Langan has to kick it up in the air because they were just going on for too long. They didn't have any punch.
We did say, Jimmy, a couple of months back, I've watched Donegal four times live this year, and you do get a sense, different sense when you're, you can see the wider pitch when they get the ball. It wasn't in their game plan to kick past the ball forward quickly.
No.
It just wasn't. It was, and I felt that will catch them in Croke Park of all places, where you need to transition really, really fast. And they have an unbelievable running game when they transition, but you need something else with that. And we're looking at McBrearty, looking at Oisin Gallon. There was times, even on Sunday, where there's a kick pass there. It's risky, but you can get 60 yards up the pitch here. But it wasn't even a run from the lads because they know we're not kicking that. There wasn't the lads inside or the lads on the ball weren't looking to kick because they're not making the runs. It just wasn't in their psyche. Mm-hmm. It might be another layer for, I know McGuinness doesn't like this, but maybe for next season. But I felt not having that long kick passing game would be a hindrance. You need to have, you know, a couple of strings to your bow. And when Galway, who clearly had the homework done in that running game, they had the physicality, the athleticism, and the know-how to shut that down, that Donegal struggled after the point. And point in the last 25 minutes is testament to that. I know Gallagher misses the free, he should get that, but they just looked like they were running. They didn't have another idea to break down that Galway defence.
Can I make a point on that? Isn't it such a relief, like even if it's a club game, that one of your attacks or your kickouts goes long and the next one's kicked in and it's a score? And it's happened that quickly. It's not a laborious 3-minute build-up. It's not a 100-yard run with the ball. It's just kick, kick, score. And
two successful kick passes is a guaranteed shot at the post. If you kick the ball twice in an attack, one after another, I guarantee you'll get shot at the post. We used to always say that, and it was a fact. Because if you go from cornerback to midfield, midfield to another 30 yards, by the time you've caught it and you're a man, you've shrugged them off, you've a shot at the post. But we've gone, and that is football at the moment. We've gone so cautious, so safe.
But Jimmy, that's why it's the weekend. With these four teams, you have to hold your hand up and say the four teams had a mentality to go out and try and play in the front four. Like Donegal, I'm saying they didn't have the kick passing game, but like they went after Gleeson's kickouts in the first half. They were pushing up all over the pitch. They tried to get that running game going. It was probably a gap in their arse and not having the kick passing game. But the four teams went out to try and win the games. And that's why it's no secret. I thought Saturday night was a classic game. The intensity was played at the skill levels, the drama of it. I thought yesterday was a really, really good game as well. Probably not at the heights of this game on Saturday night, but it was still dramatic and it was still close and it was two teams just going hammer and tongs to win it. There's loads of tactics. We know tactics are a massive, massive part of the game. And teams had 15 guys back at times. That's just part of the game as well, but it's not to the detriment of going to try and win the game as well. So I think all four teams deserve massive credit for that. And it's no secret when that's the mentality of the teams to go and attack and try and win the game, we get brilliant spectacles. They're the best two games of the championship, I would feel, and it's brilliant because it's been fucking pretty slow and a lot of how many games have we played in the last three and a half months.
Yeah,
and so many of them have been fucking off.
Can I ask you, James, you said the word punch, that Donegal were lacking that bit of punch, right? And I know the kicking is a different thing, but someone who brought punch to the table, he did it the last day as well against Dublin in the last 10 minutes, but was maybe outshined by Kenny McDade. He is now the front runner for Footballer of the Year.
You were sleeping on Dylan McHugh 3 rounds ago. Get the clip.
I don't believe
that. Why would you have to tell me that?
Because you said who? I said, Galway's half-back line are awesome. Especially Dylan McHugh.
You have to call him the wrong name because I actually sat beside Dylan McHugh and Dara Silk at the 2023 All-Ireland Football Final at the very back of the fifth tier of the Hogan Stand. We were having a chat during it. We were watching the game.
You didn't even know who he was, Tommy. So you're full of shit here. Like.
Best of luck. Best of luck next year. We might see you back here.
You thought it was Ryan McHugh you were talking to.
You didn't know who it was, Tom.
But he brings that bit of punch. He got the first score of the game.
He's a serious defender as well.
He is.
No, yeah, he is. But he takes the ball at pace. And he's going for the post. He's going the quickest route to get a shot off or get an incisive pass or get closer to the goal. I think he is a brilliant player. Their half-back line is top-notch, honestly. Mm. With Mulcairn and Silk, I think.
Well,
I think they're very solid.
Yeah, I think that Silk was picking up Bushing Gallant.
Yeah, Silk immediately.
Yeah, it was interesting. Did they get three each? Silk get two? 3-2. It's not bad result from Galway, like. As good as Gallum was.
Silk's second in the 69th minute off his left foot. That was worth three scores.
That was the game.
That was to go two up, yeah.
Yeah, and like, actually, another interesting thing was, and it was just watching the game back, and you can kind of cop it live. Like, so McHugh has a couple of assists as well as the couple of points he gets. I'm sure that goes a long way.
Every ball he gets, man, he has intent. But he goes with intent.
He kicked a few to Comer as well, trying to mix it up. He's not afraid to mix it up. But the connection that he has with his clubmate from Cara Finn, Liam Silk, you just see it. These lads have obviously played together so much growing up, playing together at club level. They combined for 4 scores in the second half. They either were involved early in the move or just around the D or setting up Paul Conroy for a shot that hit the post. They combined so much. So that's a really interesting one, looking at the All-Ireland final in 10 days' time, is those combinations that we're seeing from players 100%. That are combining so well.
But, you know, from a psychological point of view, say going into the final, Armagh have won this great game where they've all played to their potential, and I wouldn't say they've maxed out, but they've really played well in a cauldron, got over the line against Kerry, and are going to be buzzing. Whereas Galway, there's another gear and a half in Galway from the weekend, I think. Because another 2 weeks in Comer, physically, confidence wise. He needs something from Joyce as well over these 2 weeks, because he didn't have a good All-Ireland final last time. His form is up and down this year due to injuries. Like, they should be saying, this is now your time, Damien. Like, we need you here. Yeah, I think he's going to have a great final, but like, there's a bit of management there. They need to make sure they get something out of him. Shane Walsh the same, carrying a few knocks, another 2 weeks of fitness into him. McDade's going to go in more in the locker. And then you have John Maher, Dylan McHugh, these fellas playing brilliant stuff, but they still have their top fellas. There's a gear in them. There's a gear left in them. So it'll be interesting to see, can Armagh sustain and keep at that level, and can Galway get to that level? So it'll be fascinating to see which way it goes.
There's so many battles. There's so many, like, battlegrounds, like the benches. Who's going to come on? Who's going to start? Like, is Sean Kelly going to be fit enough? Like, the goalkeepers, like the manner in which Blaine Hughes was so good the last day, and Conor Gleeson got such joy as well. The middle third, the different attacks.
But you know what, I think there's a lot of similarities with how the teams, like, they know each other so well. They played the last three championships, 2022, draw, penalties. 2023, draw.
Point.
Armagh's win by point. This year, draw. Not to mention the National League. So there's so little between the teams because unbelievable athleticism on both sides. Power, big, strong players. Unbelievable fitness from both sides. I know it's a novel pairing, but it's a serious final as well. I'm excited by this final. Yeah, Dublin and Kerry are great. We'd love if that was the case again, but this is a whole different ball game. Don't underestimate Galway, and I know we'll get into this next week in the build-up and obviously in our live show, but the lessons learned from 2022, from that final. There was a lot of plaudits for Galway that year. You know, brilliant to get to the final and push Kerry all the way. They were pissed off they lost that game. They felt whatever we'll get to the final, it's there to be won. They just weren't at the races. They didn't get that momentum in 2023. They're back now again. The lessons they would have learned from that, the likes of Comer, if I get back to an All-Ireland final, I am not letting that game get away from me again. So expect him to be off the charts. And Armagh, how big is this for Armagh? Like, their first final in 21 years. Like, they're only going for a second ever title. The buzz around that place, that could be a bit of a drain on players as well. The Catholic tickets, press nights, when you're not used to it, like that experience that Galway have from 2 years ago, that does stand for something. So I know McGeaney's unbelievable experience.
The suits.
He goes, all that type. The
get white my suit measured.
Yeah, Gaza. Well, that didn't fucking work out for Cobby Maynard last night. But there's loads that goes with an All-Ireland final as well. I know we get to it, but I think they're so well matched, both these teams. It's going to be an incredible day in Cromer. The colour in Sunday week is going to be, I know the hurling is this week, another unbelievable final ahead, but it's been a long championship, but it's set up so nicely for this final.
It's been a long championship. There's something telling me that it's going to be a bit longer. I think we could be
possibly, yeah.
We'll be in for a replay.
Look at the football.
And I think there's a chance there could be echoes of 2013. There's a chance we could be in for a replay in the hurling as well. James, you can clip that. And it was funny. Donny played his role. I spoke to Kieran Saturday evening, and he played his role. Like, he was talking about his role in the next 2 weeks, right? And he's actually, they're up in Armagh, they're staying in Armagh for a few nights. And he said that he's going to be talking to the lads about sorting out the Ireland final tickets, sorting out the after party, keeping them in check, keeping them in the groove. We spoke about how it was such a quick turnaround, but he said, I've been in 8 finals. I've won 4. I've lost 4. I'm here to help the lads get over the line in 2 weeks' time. What?
The Kieran Donnelly, I suppose both camps have the experience, Tom, don't they? Like Joyce and Keane O'Neill are McGeaney and Donny. Whereas I think the players, like, as much as someone tells you the mistakes you can make, you gotta make them yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, either you just fall into so many pitfalls. Even someone can warn you. Something can happen and just piss you off. Like, I've heard stories of fellas answering phone calls about tickets the day of the game, like, on the way in the bus.
No.
Like, no, not on our team, but I'd like, team, but I've heard loads of stories of teams down through the years of it happening. Like, so much can go wrong. You just get distracted by the nonsense and the noise. You got to be so taken out of it.
Was it taken out of your hands in 14?
All the finals, I just gave the tickets to Dermot, to my father, and he sorted them out. But like, I suppose he had been through it as well. He knew I'd fuck it up. This fella would be trying to make a few bob here, and he'll miss the bus or something. So yeah, he took it.
Dermot knows.
Yeah. You have to be unbelievably selfish. Like, this 2 week window, and geez, when we were playing GB, it was 3 weeks. So it can get on top of you. There's loads of things, and like I said, particularly for Armagh, not just for the players, but for the whole county, that this is 2 decades since they were in the final when they lose the throne in 2003. So, well, my approach to it, we just became unbelievable. We were insular as a team as it was, but coming up to all our final, we just hung around together. That was it. Didn't talk to anyone else. Phones, delete all the social media apps, all that type of stuff. It's amazing how something small can put you off. Can just take your energy away from it. Maybe not the game, but a training session leading up to a game, just not in the right space, you feel a bit drained. Just hang around together with the players on the team. Go for your coffees with them, go for lunch with them, go for swims with them, go to the cinema with them. They're in the camp, and as harsh as it may sound for supporters or work colleagues, which can be a fucking disaster as well, they're on the outside. That is, You can get into conversations or requests from people, and they don't mean anything by it. There's no badness in it.
Of course they don't.
Like, but they're excited as well, and you're their best friend for that 2 weeks, like, and you haven't seen them for the other 50 weeks of the year.
Exactly. I'm sorry, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time. Lock it down. And Donaghy knows this, McGeaney knows this, Joyce knows it. Galway players experience this. Maybe they learn lessons from the 2022 final, but you have to be selfish, you have to be ruthless. It's too big. Too much has gone into it. This is it.
It was actually in A Year Till Sunday. I actually listened to it last night. And Pat Comer went from the hotel where the lads were staying and they were watching Dunphy and Giles talking about the Canio to the streets of either Galway or Dublin that night, and the lunacy and the celebrations and the dancing and the music that was being played, and then back to the hotel room where the lads were, there was a nervous energy and they were getting ready for it. Murray Silk was having his last words about the opportunity ahead of them, and then back out to the madness outside Croke Park. It's amazing the different worlds that would exist in Croke Park.
It is a different world. You will have the fucking time of your life from Sunday night until God knows how long. Weeks, months, if you win this thing. Yeah, you don't worry about missing the crack on the Friday and Saturday in Dublin around Croke Park. Let them deal with that. You'll have enough time to make up for the celebrations. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You'll, in abundance.
I must actually get on to Keane O'Neill and Danny. You know, 4 tickets I want that feature from. Wreck their heads every day for the next 2 weeks.
Like, any tickets for this fucking thing?
Do you know,
they don't have to be primos.
Oh no, it has to be premium, 2 premium minimum. I got used to it last year, I have to be there. But in the documentary, I think there was 5 weeks between the semi-final and the final. I think John O'Mahony was saying a speech and he goes, lads, we're going to win the Hurling Ireland in 5 weeks. I said, 5 weeks? But 5 weeks?
Imagine the training for 5 weeks. Oh my God.
You'd be, if you got a knock in that 5 weeks, you'd be absolutely depressed.
Let me get this. this was the difference back then. They played their first round of the Connacht Championship.
20 minutes on a year till Sunday. Sorry. Show from now on.
Like, we should.
As Roscommon could have won it.
They could have. 24th of May, Galway beat Mayo, the All-Ireland runners-up the previous year in the first round. 24th of May. 14th of June, they beat Leitrim. 19th of July is the first Connacht final, the draw at Roscommon. 2nd of August, when the All-Ireland final this year will be over, is the replay. And then the semi-final that they play that year is in, where is it gone? The 23rd of August. That's against Derry. And then 5 weeks, 27th of September, they beat Kildare 1-5.
Jesus.
So it is going to happen so much quicker. Like things, like this week is going to spin. Media events done tonight. One or two more training sessions for the weekend. I'm sure there'll be a pretty feisty A versus B game. Where they're all fighting for themselves because there's about 40 players.
I don't.
You feel lads, well, this is it. This is my last chance.
But what about Jono warning fellas in the last A versus B game? Lads, this is your last chance. Last chance to earn your spot. And there's a few places up for grabs. But please, I don't want to linger on this. Don't hurt yourselves. Nothing dirty.
Don't kill someone.
Not a dirty. Yeah. And I'd say there's a couple of fellas who would kill for that jersey. Like,
of course they would. In any team.
We all would. Right, that's lads, the game.
There's loads to talk about. We've got plenty of shows before the All-Ireland final. We'll be talking about it plenty. James, before we finish, the Donaghy factor, that was a big thing in the build-up to the game and afterwards. Like, what a job he's done. You could see him on the pitch with his hands on his head, giving a hug to Dylan Casey, his clubmate, his colleague, his captain when they won with Austin Stacks. Then he's with Aidan Forker, who he's been through the ringer with in the last 4 years. Giving him a hug, he had tears in his eyes. I don't know what they meant after the game, but that was a big thing for somebody who's poured a lot into the Armagh project in the last 4 years, and obviously is a Kerry legend, true and true.
Mm. It was like, and I heard his piece with you, Tom, which is very good. Like, and I could definitely see where he's coming from, because in the lead up to the game, I'd say probably wasn't too much of an issue for him, because he was so like, when he signed up for this gig, he probably would have known if this goes well, we're going to have Kerry in a big game. Like, that's going to That's going to be down the track. If this goes to plan, a final or semi-final against Kerry is on the card. So he'll have been somewhat prepared for that. But I suppose standing on the sideline and you've beaten them, that's probably when it all kind of comes rushing back. And I suppose he was so delighted for those Armagh lads, because he's probably built up an unbelievable rapport with them. And then he's obviously beaten his own native county, who he's gone to the well with so many times. So it must have been difficult, but I thought he did himself, you know, he didn't overstep any boundaries or anything. I thought he conducted himself very well, and fair play. He's done a great job up there.
I think anyone involved in the game in Kerry clearly respects that too. It was interesting. Myself and Maddie Kilkerkin were talking to Kieran, and it was just off in a different room, off away from the bus. Kieran kind of brought us in when we asked him to have a chat, and he said he would. And Tyke Morley walks past while we're chatting, reaches into the middle of the interview, and just clasps hands with Kieran, and there's just a little nod, and Ty goes up in the elevator. He must have been gone off to meet family or something. But do you know what?
I think he'll have plenty of chances with Kerry yet as well. He needs to get this done with Armagh first, but I think he's going to have a big say for a long time.
Definitely. We're going to talk about Donegal and Kerry's winters on their member show this week, and there'll be plenty more to talk about. This is probably our longest pod of the year so far, lads, individual pod. So we may end this one. There's one little bit of breaking news that I just have to mention. And this is a quick mention. It's just an interesting one. Louth GAA are delighted to announce that Gavin Devlin has returned to the county as its new underage football development coordinator, with a remit of steering the county's academy squads, post-primary and Rising Stars programme. Following months of deliberation and discussion between members of the Louth GAA Management Committee, Senior Football Manager Ger Brennan, Games Development Personnel and other stakeholders, we are delighted that Gavin has agreed to return to Louth GAA in a role that will see him work closely with all our Games Development Manager and his staff, propelling our trajectory in underage development with a view of feeding our flagship teams into the future. that's just a very interesting one. So soon after stepping away from the Derry job with Mickey. So that's one to keep an eye on.
Someone was going to step him up to. He's a very,
absolutely,
very,
and he's gone back to Loudermilk, where he was very highly thought of. Absolutely. So that's an interesting one. Louder making moves. They're getting their show together. So that is this week's Monday episode of the Football Pod. It'll probably be Tuesday when you're all listening to it, because I'm not sure if I have the energy to get it edited and uploaded and out tonight. I'll get it up at some stage. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, a pleasure as always. Paddy, a happy birthday week to you.
Birth week. Oh. Birth week. So we'll be talking again before that.
Yeah,
41.
32, yeah. It's getting on in your 30s now. It's not easy. Right. The air is thin up here. The air is thin.
We have a big, big 2 weeks ahead. We'll be talking plenty. Paddy James.
Sick of assignments for the lads. Jeez, be talking.
Nah, not yet. We have another bit. Wait for the replay of the All-Ireland Football Final in the middle of August.
If there's a replay, I'm not there yet. I'm finished. Finished.
Thanks, boys.
Good night, boys.
Good work.
Go on, lads. Shake it easy.
Come on.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.